This audio is brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, where advanced dental technology meets compassionate, patient-centered care.
Good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How is everybody this morning?
Not wonderful.
Not wonderful?
Oh,
I think not. Oh, I said not. Okay. Buffalo Community Room. I see you're all here.
Good morning.
Where do you want me to stand?
You can stand, you can have a seat at a table. And
whatever you want.
Just so not everybody has to keep their necks. Well, thanks for having us here. I know that I didn't want to monopolize too much of your guys' time, especially in a meeting that I'm sure already has an agenda, but I do appreciate everybody agreeing to meet with us. Like you said, we're the Buffalo Community Rink. My name's Edison Elder. These are the other members of our board. So we really do appreciate the time. I know that not everybody here is probably super familiar with our statement of purpose. So I wanted to just run through that really quick, but really I just wanted to have a dialogue here. I think there's a lot of things that we can get ironed out as a group between our two entities, and that's what we would like to accomplish. So our statement of purpose is to utilize and increase the outdoor recreation opportunities for residents and visitors to Buffalo and Johnson County, regardless of the weather or season. We aim to have that facility be usable in all conditions. The purpose of the rink is to provide diverse activities that facilitate sportsmanship, community, and all types of athletic and creative endeavors through a safe and functional multi-purpose space for all to use. I'd just like to highlight that the programs that we are currently offering over there, programs and events, are free to the public. We provide all the necessary equipment for anybody that wants to participate, both in the summer, spring, fall, and in the winter. Right? We have skates that we will give out for rentals, and we also have sticks and all of the balls and pucks and everything that you would need to participate in any of our events. Our goal is to make this as low of a barrier of entry as possible. We don't want to just be a hockey rink. We want to make this usable for everybody in the community, right? Regardless of your age, regardless of your economic status, we want to make it a usable facility for everyone. And we tried to do a lot of different things over the past couple of years. We've had a lot of success with our programs, but we really wanted to just talk with the city. We've made several different proposals. We've given you guys several different things to consider, and we want to try and get on the same page. So one of my biggest questions to this group is, what is the city's vision for the rink in George Washington Park? Is there a plan that our group and the public isn't aware of, because we want to be in alignment with what the city wants to do, and we don't want to be fighting against the current here? So that's my first question. Is there a plan in place? Do you guys have a vision for this facility?
Make it better, sir.
Okay, no worries.
I'm a slow writer. I'm a slow thinker. I don't think there's ever been an actual plan for anything down there. I think it got built I don't know how many years ago, and then kind of the skating thing kind of, for lack of a better term, phased out. And just, I don't know of any specific plan anywhere for any of it. So, I mean, I'm happy somebody's willing to come in and look at it and do something with the big white wall down there.
Sure.
I guess one of the things we have talked about is, if we're talking about the entire park area, is updating playground equipment, as that needs to be replaced. But the ice skating rink has never really been part of that conversation. I don't know why, because it's right across the road. So I don't know if there's a development plan in place. place to, you know, keep the parks updated and continue to grow in the parks that we have. But I think it's good that you brought it to our attention and something that we could include in those conversations.
Of course.
And we'd be open to ideas and suggestions, of course.
So on July 18th of 2023, we did submit to the city a master plan alternatives to be reviewed. We think that those plans are still valid. I think that the path that we set forward to the council at that time still should be considered, and I would encourage this group to, you know, we can resend that, of course.
Would you, because there's two of us that were not on the council at that time?
Of course. Because, you know, just kind of what we have proposed in the past is, you know, when our group first kind of took shape, we weren't recognized as any kind of a nonprofit. We just were aware of rink improvements and that money had been set aside. We heard about it in the May 5th Buffalo Bulletin, where that was added as part of the budget to make rink improvements. There was $100,000 set aside. We wanted to make sure those funds were used appropriately. And so we came to the council and made our suggestions, just as citizens, as users of that facility, knowing, you know, I have a background in rink management. My family's done that for years, so, and we've all used the facility and have a vested interest in it. But after that, we did present the site development plan, and we've also presented several different quotes for improvements that the city can make to that facility. But currently, what we're asking for is we want to know where we stand as an organization so that we can begin to raise funds, make improvements. You know, there's a lot of things that need to happen down there to make it a usable space. The concrete will need to be resealed, ground, and polished in order to make the ice surface that much more usable and to open up to different activities in the summertime, such as, you know, if we wanted to open up the roller or different things like that. There's a lot of spalling and some weathering on concrete, so that needs to be addressed. But one of the first things that need to happen, we believe it's a safety issue, is the boards do need to be replaced. We have a plan in place to raise money, get donations from individuals and businesses. We would like to offer to them that they could have their logo or their name or their business name or something like that as a donation for those boards. But currently, you know, and we've been receiving people that want to support that for a while, when even before we were recognized as a 501c3, we had people reaching out to us saying that they wanted to support what we're doing and they wanted to see that facility improved. But currently we don't have any avenue of doing that because it's not our facility. You know, this is a city facility. We are just a user group right now. We're not recognized in any capacity. So really what I wanted to sit down and have a conversation with this group is what kind of a relationship can we pursue so that we can make those improvements, so that we can, you know, so that we can continue to operate at that facility. Because I think that the important thing to take away from this is we're not, you know, we came to the council initially with recommendations of how we thought you should spend your money, and we no longer are asking for money. We're just asking for the green light to make the improvements that we have, that we recognize need to be made sooner rather than later. So that was the main thing that I wanted to bring to the council, is I want to just start that dialogue, because I know that it's going to take some back and forth. We presented our MOU at the same time as the master plan, as the site improvement plan, and you know, it was our understanding that there was going to be some back and forth there, that we would make revisions and come to an agreement with the city, and we haven't received any, and so we've recognized that there is a disconnect in our form of communication. We know that how our two entities are communicating isn't functional, and I wanted to hopefully just get that resolved now and see if there's a future between us. So I apologize, I've been talking the whole time. I said I wanted the dialogue and I had to shut up. So.
Edison, can you explain some of the, is it all private funding that you guys are seeking, or are there grant options where the city would need to be involved in order for that to happen? And if so, what are some of the requirements behind that funding?
I think that it depends upon what kind of an agreement we reach, right? Because it is a city facility, I know that you know, we would need some involvement with the city, correct?
If we decide, there's been a little bit of dialogue that we've had with the state Outdoor Recreation Collaborative. We are part of that group, and so they are willing to help us seek funds from the state, but we would need to have your cooperation and support for whatever we propose to get funding for. So that's probably the example that we pursued the most at this point in time.
And then, did they specify what kind of relationship needs to be established, or?
We're in the kind of the beginnings of developing the Cloud Peak Outdoor Restoration Collaborative, or Recreation Collaborative, excuse me. So we're learning more what the requirements are, but I would assume that at the minimum it would be a letter of support for whatever project we propose.
And as you mentioned, and I apologize, I don't remember, but we earmarked $100,000 to be put into the skating rink. Can you remind me what that was for?
Okay, so HGTV had come and they had a proposed plan, and so when they couldn't get supply to do that, the next budget year, we were going to continue with their plan. It was actually to take the boards off of the rink and put up a rail and put some lights up there, and there was a mural as part of it, and it was sealing the bottom. The skating club realized that that was going on, and they came with other suggestions, which just kicked the project down. They want to keep the boards, they want... So it kicked it down the road, and when the year sunset, we put the money back to the boards and used it for other projects. So there is not money now in the city's budget set aside for the rink.
Right. Okay.
And then that has changed a little bit, even I think with the group, because then it was a Zamboni, and I think you wanted bathrooms and you wanted a shed for the...
Yeah, those are part of the... you know, the site development plan is
so that's utilizing those. Where we kind of don't come all together because it keeps moving. Mm-hmm. And it starts with, we don't know what our role is together.
And I think that, you know, I think that Julie said it well. This, we have, you know, provided a moving target because we've gotten no feedback. Right, we don't know what target the city wants for this facility, and so we, you know, are taking shots in the dark, trying to provide something that we think will benefit the community and be the best use of whatever funding sources we're using. Right, and so this is, you know, we're quite frankly tired of chasing our tails with this. We wanted to get in front of everybody and get an agreement so that everybody knows what page we're on, and we can actually start making some improvements.
Yeah.
It is in your original site plan you turned in, it showed, I mean, there was no architectural drawing, it was just a site plan, but it suggested locker rooms, bathrooms. I mean, on a scale, that's a $2-3 million project, and you guys are aware of that, right? I mean, this is not a couple $100,000 deal. I mean, that improvement would be a significant multi-million-dollar project.
And that's why it's phased, right? Like, there are some things that need to happen immediately, right? The boards, the concrete, those are, those, it's still a considerable investment, absolutely. But, you know, there, I think that what we wanted to demonstrate with that site plan was there is room for future growth as we see more usage at that facility, right? We're not proposing that, you know, we spend a couple of million dollars in fiscal year 2024, right? But we, the only way that we can provide for the community the kind of services that that facility can host is to start incrementally making those improvements. But, you know, I'm pretty plugged in with the other rinks in the state. I was talking with Grant Golden. He's the rink manager in Sublette County. I was just speaking with him, I think, yesterday. And their Sublette County commissioners, they ran a study, a feasibility, a financial study for what the rink brings in, and they found that every time that he hosts a tournament, whether it be a youth or an adult tournament, they find that the adult tournament's bringing a lot more money than the youth does, but they're looking at $19,000 a weekend that is brought into the community per these tournaments. And we've had a ton of support from people saying, you know, that they want to come and participate if we can get some more things going. And that's why we're trying to, you know, expand our reach, try new things, try new different events, not just our, you know, regularly scheduled things, but bigger events. You know, we did the ball hockey tournament last year. We're going to do that again this year. We think that that will bring in money into the community and give people the opportunity to stay active in, you know, otherwise difficult times to be outdoors.
So it sounds like, in like step one and two would be to repair the concrete and fix or replace the boards. Can you remind me the cost associated with those two items?
Let me see if I have that printed out. I know that we have a quote for the concrete that we received. This was in 2023, so knowing the construction industry right now, that it could be as much as doubled. We haven't reached out for a update on this quote, but the concrete resurfacing, leveling, and sealing was $51,000. And as far as the boards go, it honestly is dependent on timing. There's a lot of different used boards that become available on different ring trading sites that we're plugged into, and it just depends upon availability. You know, they can. Do you remember what the last quote was? I think that sounds about right. I think about $80,000 to replace the boards, and those are, you know, collegiate boards. I think the ones that we identified as like University of Michigan or something. They just replaced their facility and they were selling their boards for pretty cheap. So that's what we would be looking to do, is bring in something used that we know will fit the needs of the facility. There are some boards that don't behave well when they're exposed to the elements, when they're exposed to the sun, so you have to be a little bit pickier with what you put up there, because we don't want to put something up that's going to react poorly to the sun and the direct sunlight and then warp them. We don't have a quote for that right now, but we would assume within the $75,000 to $100,000 range. Mm-hmm.
So out of that $130,000 that would need to be raised for those repairs, do you have any idea what the state would be matching, or the programs could possibly match with that? And because I'm assuming that's where the city needs to be involved and on board in order to accept those types of funds, or are you planning on trying to raise the money privately with just our support in the background? What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, ideally, it would be that we would be able to raise the money. And so that's kind of where we're hoping to go. Mm-hmm. I think the first step is getting support and really maintaining communication with you with what exactly we're proposing, so that you're behind it if we do go forward with raising money and getting a grant. So that's kind of our ideal.
Mm-hmm.
And Dennis, are there any legal implications for us accepting
this? Well, my thought is that the city could lease an area at the range or the area around the link, kind of like we do with the golf course,
mm-hmm.
and say, you know, this is a lease that you need to maintain, and would have the standards in there, and it's your responsibility financially to keep those things. And the lease at the golf club is a good example of how that entity, a private entity, maintains the whole deal. So that'd be my thought, is a lease. Would your organization be willing to enter into a lease?
Yeah. Yep, that was one of the things that we had on our mind. As a functional relationship for us. I mean, I know that we would have to iron out once we identified the grants and the funding amounts. I don't know how that would work, making long-term improvements to that facility under a lease agreement. But I'm sure that we could work around that. That's something that is attractive to us, because we would also, you know, I think that it's important that to recognize that we don't want to add more to city employees' plates already, right? We know that there is an art to, you know, things like ice maintenance and ice development, and we if we enter into an agreement like this, and I think a lease would be a really good way to do that, so we would want to take that on ourselves. We've identified a couple of different ways that we think that we can extend our season by changing the way that we make ice in the fall and in the early winter. And, you know, a lot of that comes down to timing. And to ask a city employee to go out there after hours, you know, when the conditions are right, just to start laying down ice, is something that we recognize is not feasible. And so we would want to, you know, as part of that agreement, we would want to take that on. We want to accept that responsibility so that we can use our expertise, we can use our group's enthusiasm to extend that season. And I think that, unless I'm mistaken, the lease agreement in that respect would fit that pretty well.
Okay.
I just want to say, just to make sure that y'all know, too, part of the Ring Group, my name is Richard. As much as we talk about hockey and stuff like that, this facility is not just a hockey rink. You know, what we're doing is, you know, kids go down there all summer long and play. We go down there and we pick up trash from the canyon. We've taken ownership of it, but it's not just for hockey. So just don't get caught up in we're just talking about hockey. It's a main part of it, but it is definitely for kids to ride their bikes, to play their little, you know, get their cars out there. They had the wiener dog races there the year they got rained out. But, you know, I mean, there's stuff that can go on there. And the better we have that facility, the better people are going to want to use it, because it's a nice facility, or could be. Sorry.
So does it sound like the next step is
you can look at draft a lease?
See what's acceptable.
That, to
party.
That's up to you guys.
I'd be open to drafting a lease.
Yeah.
Getting that ball rolling.
I think we can model it after the golf course.
Yeah.
We have a template. It shouldn't take much to do negotiations and figure something out.
This golf course is, for those who don't know, the golf course is run privately through the Buffalo Golf Club, Inc., which is a 501c3. Organization. So the city leases the grounds, the course, to that organization. It's responsible for the maintenance and upkeep of the facility. Yeah, we'd do something similar like that.
Sounds good.
I'd draft it up.
Okay, very awesome. So there is one more thing that I did want to bring up, and I think that this will take some conversation, is when I talked to Grant in Sublette County, he has held on to that Zamboni for us. He says that he's had people that have shown interest, but nobody has given him an offer. They haven't gone out to a public bid to sell that ice resurfacing equipment. We priced another one. There was another one for sale in just outside of Spearfish, and that it was a year younger, and it went for $60,000. Grant's also offering to donate, well, I should say Sublette County is also offering to donate four different replacement Zamboni blades valued at $450 a piece. The issue is we can't accept that because it would go from a municipality to a private entity, a nonprofit. And so he is still willing, and there is no issue on their end, as far as they're aware, speaking through the rink manager from the county attorney, there is no issue for it to go directly to the city of Buffalo. Now, I know this is a sticking point, but I just want to emphasize that we once again don't want to make more work for the city or its employees. We are willing to reach an agreement where we accept the maintenance, the operation, and the liability. We just need to come to an agreement as to how we could do that, right? We can't have that be just a one-way street of communication. I think that it needs to be a bit of a dialogue. I'm not sure if that's something that could be written into a lease agreement. I'm not sure, you know, I don't know how that works. I wanted to come to you all and see if there is an agreement that could be reached there, because I do think that getting a piece of equipment like that, while it might not be a huge investment financially, it does mean a lot to people to see a piece of equipment like that operate on their facility. You know, if you go to any rink, the kids are almost glued to the glass more when the ZAM's doing its circles than when the you know, rink is being used, right? That means something to the community, and it would give us a whole different realm of possibilities to do things like ice maintenance. We would want to put it into the parade. We would want to, you know, get it out into the public eye. It's a pretty critical piece of equipment for the growth that we want to see at that facility. And like I said, I know that it's a sticking point, but I would love to see if there is a workaround that can be found there.
In my mind, it's possible, I guess, because the golf course owns and maintains and operates their own equipment, and some of their equipment, the golf course has been purchased with severance tax or 1% money the city gave to them, so it's, I think it's just a matter of, we got to figure out, Dennis needs to figure out what is the legal way to transfer ownership. I don't know. But I think under a lease agreement, I think we probably could. But if we don't have a lease agreement, then it's under the city's insurance, and that's with our sticker before. So I think that's
well. I can try and draft the lease to cover that. The big issue with that is that you have a piece of city equipment, which is then going to be operated by non-city employees, and it raises a lot of liability questions. And I don't know where you'd store it, because I don't think you have room in the shop to store it. You don't have any place to store it, but certainly we could work it out. Are those people that mow the lawns up at the golf course, are they city employees? No.
We don't go buy their equipment. We may give them funding for it.
They give funding for the equipment, and they buy their own equipment.
Here, the problem is that
the city would have the equipment. And
the title to the equipment is with the city.
I'm trying to sell the equipment from the city to the 501c3. It's the same problem. Them accepting it from sublet.
Right.
We still have that,
that's the stumble block.
Yeah. That's the stickler, how to transfer ownership. Yeah.
Well, I don't think you'd transfer. It's just part of the lease. We'd be leasing them the Zamboni.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem with that lease is that the city would still own it. And then you're putting on non-city employees operating it. And they would, I guess, you know, you'd have to have an insurance policy that would protect the city for someone else operating city equipment. And that, I don't know how much insurance you could get.
So I work for the Big White National Forest, and we do something similar where we have volunteer agreements. I don't know how city government works. But we've got a form that would be drafted up to cover certain activities. There's a proposed activity that would provide sort of like the guidelines of what the agreement covers. And when they sign it and we sign it, it gives them permission to operate like government equipment. And then that includes, so if anything were to ever happen, like I have a volunteer driving a Forest Service truck and something happens, they get in a wreck or something like that, they're not hanging out to dry. There's nobody that's, you know, left to tank. I don't know if you guys have like a volunteer agreement.
I'm not sure if we do there.
I don't know.
We haven't ever seen or heard. Not saying it's not out there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the problems between that arrangement is that the city is immune from a lot of suits, but it does buy insurance, and so we probably have to talk to our insurance carrier about that and ask, because most of the exceptions to the sovereign immunity doctrine are, do you have insurance, then you're responsible for it. So the city, in effect, has carved out an area where it will pay and not assert its immunity by having insurance. And so we carry, I don't know what the insurance policy is, but it's a lot of liability coverage, probably 5 or 10 million. I don't know what it is.
No, I don't remember.
Probably 5 million. So that's the issue, because you wouldn't have the federal government buying insurance. I'm sure they don't buy insurance.
We're a little different. We're kind of self-insured.
Well, meaning that you will pay any claims that are legitimate that come across the table, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just brought that up just because we've got people that want to help, like, contribute.
Yeah, I understand.
How many people would be operating the Zamboni, I guess? I'd say 2 or 3.
So I think this is a wonderful endeavor, and I grew up with the rink that was just the pond, and we scooped it and had the campfire and yada yada, and I almost wonder if this isn't, and when you're talking $2 million, $5 million lockers and stuff, if this isn't too big for our city. I mean, we're little and there's a beautiful rink 30 minutes away. I mean, KC doesn't always get what we have. We have the pool, KC comes up and uses it, and that's 42 miles. I don't know, I personally, when we're looking at everything we have to maintain, I mean, we've got investment in ball fields that we haven't completed. We've got, you know, trap shoot wanting stuff. It's like, when do we say no? When do we take care of our streets and infrastructure and not try to get this level of big? You know, when is it just the public can go down and just skate from Gomer filling the pond? I don't know. That's just my personal opinion.
again, I think you're getting caught up on that $2 million dream locker room thing. Right now, all we're talking about is getting basic things done. Forget the Zamboni.
The Zamboni.
Yeah, let's just, you know, maybe down the road that might happen, but that's not even our intention, is to make this thing. We want it, honestly, outdoor. We like the simplicity of it. We just need to make sure some of the functional things are there, just to get, you know, because people show up all the time just walking by, you know. And
I'm for that.
Yeah.
I disagree, but I'm not for Zamboni.
You know, and that's just stuff, just, you know, don't get caught up on that right this moment. We just need your support to help start getting the boards and the cement, you know, just basic stuff. Down the road, we can work towards that stuff, but don't get caught up on the big gleaming building over there with brand new locker rooms right now. That's not what we're saying, you know. Maybe down the road, but...
Yeah, I think that, you know, to reiterate kind of what Rich is saying there, you know, we're showing that we have a plan for the future, right? But we're currently trying to meet the existing need, right? This is a city facility, and it's been deteriorating for 30 years. We're not offering, you know, we're not asking to build a new facility. We're asking that this facility be maintained. And this is what's required. You know, if you didn't want to maintain this facility, then, you know, it shouldn't have been built in the first place. It's already there. We're just offering to do the necessary to keep this facility serving a purpose.
I think step one is we look at a lease.
Do you have liability insurance now?
Do we?
Yes.
No.
I think step one is we go look at the lease and see if it's...
Well, we can draft the lease.
Agree among both parties, that would be excellent. Go from there, I think that's step one.
I wonder if there's a legal description of how we describe the property, which is included in the lease. Whether we need to have a survey where you carve off the area that would be under your control under the lease, it's probably necessary. I mean, I don't want to describe the whole northwest corner of the park. So I think you probably need to get a survey of the area that you think is necessary as the community rank, okay, so that there's a legal description we can apply. That would be the first step, too, is get that survey.
Do you need that before you draft?
No, I mean, it can be attached. We can start the draft of the lease, okay, but I'm saying that the lease is going to refer to a legal description,
okay,
of what you're responsible for.
Is that something that, you know, because we have access to surveyors, we have a couple that are involved in the organization.
Yeah, we're not.
I don't know.
The city's not going to do it.
Okay, that was good.
We don't have a surveyor.
Okay. How would we, you know, in order to get the surveyor to write that up, do we need to come to an agreement with the city as to what the boundaries need to be roughly, and then
somebody needs to walk it out for the surveyor, and I don't know what area is used.
I guess we just have to go down there and look.
Yeah,
and see
you just have to walk it with the surveyor.
You'd say the surveyor involved at that point.
From here to there.
This is the area we're looking at.
Yeah,
we can absolutely help with that.
Okay. Step one and step 1.8.
Yeah.
We would like to have a timeline, just so that we know what we're working with. For starting with 1A, as you said, when would be a good time for the city to go out there and chart that with our surveyor?
We're done here in the next week or two, whatever. You know, we can make something up.
Yeah.
So in the next 2 weeks, we can get out there.
Just have them. I can get you some contact information. We can get a hold of any of those.
That'd be great.
We'll make it work.
Awesome. Thank you. And do you have any idea how long?
Oh, I'm leaving for Minneapolis tomorrow, so I'm going to be gone the rest of this week and next week. So I would say in a couple, 2 weeks again.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Well, like I said, I do appreciate your time. I do feel bad for monopolizing this much of your time, but I really appreciate you guys sitting down. This is exactly what we were hoping to accomplish, where we can all just get on the same page. So I really do appreciate it. Thank you. Any other questions before I step off?
I'm good.
This is Buffalo Community Rink, Inc.?
It's the Buffalo Community Rink Organization. We are a 501c3.
Are you incorporated? No.
No. No.
Inc. is not in our name. For Buffalo Wyoming Community Rink. That's our official.
And filed with the Secretary of State?
Yes. Yes.
It's our treasurer, too, if you're curious.
You might send me that 501c3 document. So it's the Buffalo Wyoming Community Rink. Okay.
Thank you, guys.
And next topic, pool lifeguards. There's been some kerfuffles. Seems they've hired some 14 and 15-year-olds to do them.
So I do have in your packet is a page that's from our personnel policy, which talks about the minimum age for probationary employees, and then also our seasonal ones. This says 16. I know there's probably been years before that they've hired guards under 16. But mainly, I think where the confusion has come from is that the Snapchat, which is leased to another person, they hire that younger age. And, you know, we don't have anything to say about that, but there is some confusion. So right now, I think they hired
there's about like 20 guards, and there's 8 of them that are 15. Of the 20, so the 12 that are left, probably five of them are going to be gone for 3 weeks on a school trip, like starting June 9th through the end of June. So then they have 7 or 8 that are actually of age, according to this. So that's one of their concerns. So.
Well, could you change this? Is this a part of an ordinance then?
I think
is this,
the
policy?
This is our policy. So by resolution, we could change it. And I don't know what the reasoning necessarily was why we set the minimum age of 16, whether it was an insurance, from our insurance company. I know
probably
working
driving would be my guess, right?
Well,
thinking driving age maybe.
So to work in the park, to run the equipment, you have to be 18, according to our insurance stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know about lifeguards.
If you're not old enough to drive, but you're going to save somebody drowning you.
Yeah, that worries me a little.
do they
you're old enough to drive.
They have to go through the trials. I will think you have your order. Maybe for all other than the swimming pool, which would be seasonal at 50.
Somehow I had like 3 people reach out to me about it. I'm like, but they're like, yeah, they've already worked 40 hours last week getting trained. They're certified. And I was like,
So
yeah, they've all gone through their training.
And I think you're going to see this theme going through as we go through the rest of our agenda. We get these boards or these groups that have the best of intentions, you know, but it just snowballs. Because in addition to this, the pool board has agreed to some things that, you know, now your head guard or your manager of it is under one thing that's been promised. For example, they asked for a minimum...
4 hours.
4 hours. So like if it rains and you're supposed to work that day, they want to pay them a minimum 4 hours, and the board agreed to it. So
yeah,
now...
So it's like 2 weeks ago they...
And so they're kind of operating underneath that. But if it rains and we have to mow lawns, we don't pay an automatic 4 hours for... So,
yeah.
I
so
mean
that,
that
that's a question they're asking me, so that's something, yeah.
And then, of course, the manager is not happy with her wage right now, so she wants more money, too. So we just have a lot going on, but I feel bad for her, too, because she now doesn't have enough staff. I don't know what to do about that. Dennis, do you see any reason why we couldn't make an exception or change this?
I don't. I guess I'd just confer with the insurance, our insurance carrier. But I don't see any problem because I think the minimum age is 14 for private employers. That they can hire anyone over age of 14.
I guess the other question I would ask is as far as the hourly thing, how you want to address that, you know?
Why?
I don't know. You know, last year was an extreme year because of the weather. I realized there was a lot of them that didn't.
The whole month? Yeah.
Yeah, and
then
yeah,
June,
yeah.
It was
closed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, rain.
I personally don't think that's a road we want to go down to pay for hours not worked. I mean, especially as a seasonal employee. And
what?
It's different for one of our, like, water or sewer treatment people who are on call and oftentimes get called in, but...
Yeah, that's a whole
different deal.
Can't even, yeah, compare the two.
Yeah.
Well, I think it comes back to that is a decision that council would have to agree to.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think that just a board who, you know, they're an advisory to the council.
And I understand they're trying to retain their employees, but...
Have they had issues filling those positions? Does anyone know?
I don't think they've ever had it.
We've got, like, right now, we've got 20. Yeah, but like I say, some of them are 8
and you know, that's always been the issue since I've been around is, you know, obviously you're not going to get professional lifeguards out there from Bondi Beach or something. So you get the school kids, but then there's school projects going on, which is a catch-22 because you can't take them away from their school projects because that's their life moving forward.
And their families go on vacation, and they're going to take their kids with them. I mean, we have to, but that is having a summer job.
Do we have to take our kids with us?
You have to take your kids on vacation. Well, there's home alone. So.
Yeah, that worked out real well for me.
you might rethink that one.
But so I mean, it's a catch-22. It's a kerfuffle, no matter how you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not for paying people for not work. We can see how well it's working nationwide so far.
So as far as I'll address that as far as right now, then that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. As far as,
and I'll check into the minimum wage.
Wage and the wage, I guess, raise for the pool manager.
Who is the pool manager?
Marjorie
Olson.
Olson?
Yeah.
How much are they making now?
I think she's making 15.
The cards start at 12 and she's making 15.
And how much does she want?
She didn't say.
I think that's interesting. I think, again, that should have been a recommendation maybe from your pool board, as the minister could have said, we recommend.
Yeah.
And that didn't come up with that meeting with the 4 hour deal. That didn't come up there.
I'm just going to text the president of the pool board.
I didn't suggest that to her, that she made that recommendation to pool board. And then they could come to council with it. So.
So, I think they're okay. Do you need anything else from this conversation?
I don't think so. I think that covered it.
Rec board funding update.
So I put that, this kind of covers a lot of things. This, the rec board met, they made the recommendations, you saw it reported in the paper, but also we received funding for the pool chemicals. We did not receive funding for the playground equipment. So I could pull that from second reading on the budget, but we have the expense budgeted, and then we have it as a grant that would come from rec board grants. We could leave it in the budget, not spend it because we don't have grant funding, but we could pursue some of this outdoor rec grant funding. I know that that's the same funding that maybe the skating group wants to pursue. What we've seen in the past with that outdoor rec is we're kind of a wealthy community, so if we were in the reservation or we were had lower property taxes, some of that, we kind of get flushed out of the pool real quick. But we'll pursue it. So if you're fine with me leaving that in,
let's leave it in. And better to ask and get turned down than not ask.
Yeah, so we'll keep doing that, but it may not happen this year. It might, those grant cycles take a while, but we'll keep going.
Can I add to that too? I think when we go back to the rec board, they really wanted to fund, if they could have funded like 30,000 or whatever. So maybe in the future, if we could accept any funds, would be helpful.
Yeah, and I think that it's not like they fully fund every ask, so they certainly could have done that. And
right, yes. And they didn't realize they could only fund a portion of it. They felt like it wasn't all or nothing. So I think that.
Because I guess in my mind, that's kind of what I expected, that they might partially fund it and then we'd
right.
pick
and,
up the
and
rest. So.
They thought it was an all or nothing ask, like we wouldn't do it if they didn't fund it all. And they were just, the amount.
It's a big ask.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So in here also then is funding for the trails, and they usually pay for the trails position. Now, I didn't see this grant application, so I don't know what's in here. But remember, we funded $15,000 in 1% funds for the conservation crew to come in, and that's what this dialogue is here. I think it's great that they're moving forward. I don't know if their cost, I thought the $15,000 was for the conservation group, but it looks like they're, if you read through this dialogue, there's a quote from Carla Construction, there is talk of working with Rocky Mountain Power, Rocky Mountain Equipment. I don't know how all these are going to be funded. Also, we're spending this money right now, it looks like, and that money is given to us in July, so we're in a different fiscal year. Again, we have a very active board, and they're moving, and they're getting things done. Remember, they're an advisory board. But what I don't know is the Shiloh Trail, we did not fund that. They also asked for rec board funding. Is that part of this 20? So we don't... I'm just trying to decide if any changes need to be made to our budget on second reading. They don't need the additional $7,500 that they asked from us because they were funded through the rec board.
Correct.
Okay. So I don't know if I have anything else on the funding updates. We got the pool chemicals. We'll leave the playground stuff in. We won't make any changes to trails because it's maybe all included between there. I need to double check to see that the rec board funding that we budgeted to get back and also the expense side of that. Okay, that's all I had.
Okay. Trap and ski building.
Jim Dawson is coming tonight to ask for permission to place a building on. They got rec board funding. $60,000, and then they have other funding, but they're ready to move forward. I think he's visited with you about some
dirt work location.
I think the big issue with that is the utilities.
Well, since the county's pushing it, is the county willing to pay the utilities?
Jim did mention to me something about the 4-H club or however they were would pay the heating. Is that what you
said? Something like that. Yeah, I think we just need the MOU that says we will allow the land, but they are responsible for all maintenance, upkeep, and utilities, and just spell it out in black and white on the MOU that they...
Well, I think it's a lease agreement.
Yeah, their lease agreement or whatever, however we do it, but if we spell it out that they're responsible for that, and then they have to find somebody to fund it, whether it's the University of Wyoming through 4-H Extension Office or private or county or whoever.
But even as you go through this, he's asking for other stuff up front, like us to prepare the site. And
yeah, and they're going to want water and sewer, so.
Yeah, and that's an add-on. And yeah. So then are we going to be paying the water? I guess I'll just be Debbie Downer today. I have an issue with this. They've got a great spot out at the fairgrounds, which kids are already going. And then could the dog project also use that building all year round? I don't know why the city has to take it on. And I'm also concerned with our enterprise system. And yes, we've got right now during nice weather, we've got people and children, young adults out there using it. But we don't have it all during, who's going to maintain the roads? I mean, if they've got 300 members and they're all driving in and out of there and it's wet,
yeah,
quite, you know.
We take care, yeah.
You take care of that.
Public
so, I mean, there's so many other implications when there's space out at the fairgrounds, there's also space up at the shooting range towards the mountains.
Another thing to keep in mind, not that this would ever happen, but if phase two of that tech park ever goes in, all that goes away.
Yeah, and I guess we need to plan for that. And then if the shooting club, you know, goes out of favor, what do we do with that building? We have a building that's now going to have restrooms and heated and all, and what do? We just tear it down?
Then
phase two of what, the tech wastewater treatment?
Yeah, the tech park out there.
The business park.
The business park.
So I understand that you guys used to have a building out there that stored, I don't know if you had your own shooting line or whatever. I was talking to Garth and he said that thing was so shot up because of people out there, they would shoot your building.
He's the one there for it now.
Yeah.
And we get BBs over at the wastewater treatment plant from the shotgun range.
I mean,
it's far enough away, we haven't done much damage, but we do get it.
Tori still has both his eyes.
Yep. So. Well, it's not very good anymore.
Anyway, that was just informational only. You will be requested tonight at the city council meeting.
Criminal Justice Center MOU.
This again is just an update at the city county meeting. Jackie Camino and I were kind of tasked with rewriting the MOU because it's about to, well, our loan is about to be paid off. So I did reach out to the chief and he visited with the sheriff and his team up there. Definitely need to have a conversation with all of them present. I mentioned that even at that city county meeting. But in the meantime, I went through, looked at what we're paying, and visited with Jackie. Really, I feel that everything is pretty in line with, it's actually more in the joint powers agreement. It's not in the MOU. Other than you'll see the stuff that's kind of in that pink color or purple color that the joint powers board agreement says that as long as we had the old building, those costs would continue to be split 50-50, and everything else was 82-18, unless the chief and the sheriff, there were things that came up, which you'll see is probably the Digitex and then the janitorial, And that's, they have their reasoning for how that is split. And I think it's really because you're talking with just, I call it the front part, but the where the our officers are and the sheriff's officers are, and it has nothing to do with the jail. So some of those costs are just covering that front part, and it's how, you know, how many offices we have versus how many they have, you know, in that space. So I think that's all in line with the agreement. The 50-50 ones then, these were from the old building. And I don't know, I think we could justify them as being a 50-50 split, but I wonder if this was maybe just an error on the city pays these bills, and it's an error from our accounts payable through all the years, because it says when that building is torn down. So we've continued to pay the 50-50 and only charge them 50% rather than 82%. But I would guess that, like, the Rocky Mountain Tower, that's the tower. Is it just the sheriff's office and the, does that not, I mean, I don't know how much the jail would use the communication tower. Maybe that's just for. So, I mean, and the mops and the mats and the air freshener, is that just for, again, the offices? It doesn't include the jail. So that's where I can see some of this. Where you're probably going to get pushback is on the receptionist. So we always had, the sheriff had a secretary or an assistant, you know, and then we had this receptionist. And the receptionist was Carol Herman for many, many years, and it was Verna Lawrence who was helped with the sheriff. And the argument, I think, was that the receptionist is there Monday through Friday, answers every phone call that comes in, they're your front line. My understanding is this has changed quite a bit, and they're going to push back that you have the receptionist, that is your helper, how the sheriff has his secretary, the receptionist is actually serving as the chief's secretary. So they're going to want that wage to be split differently. And then I think where some of the rub, I just think this will come up at our meeting when we meet with them. Some of the rub, too, is that when we implemented the pay scale, Erica got a raise. It then went out of their, when they're paying half of it, it exceeded their budget. So
yeah, and I kind of addressed that, too, though. So that position has changed dramatically, right? So it's not just a receptionist position anymore now with NIBRS and RIMS. And the also difference is our receptionist is also a dispatcher. She's a professional dispatcher. And so my thing was, well, if we're splitting that, and when the county got their 7%, well, we didn't, you know, like years ago, did Erica's go up 3.5%? No, it didn't.
Right.
So if that's the argument they're going to use, then I can easily say, well, the position's changed. She didn't get a raise when the county got a raise, and it's not our fault that we have a pay scale like the agreement is. And so I would argue that it's more than just a receptionist position, at least on our end, right, when you look at it, because she can jump in, she can dispatch, she keeps that certification, which is different than what Jennifer does, right?
Right.
So
I just think they're going to try to change the split on that, and I think they're a little sore that we didn't invite them or didn't tell them that they should adjust their budget because we were giving a raise and they pay half of it.
They do, because I told Ron.
Anyway, this was just to let you know that I think the agreement still kind of works the way it is, but we did some homework, and we'll have something to talk about then when we actually have a meeting. And that is next, it's in 2 weeks, right, that meeting? And it's your quarterly joint
meeting. So that's what we're going to do then?
Yeah, that's when we'll discuss this.
Okay, I'll have to.
And where do you meet? Is that at the Justice Center?
Commissioner's office, the commissioner's chambers.
Can you just send me an email to look at
that?
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Pool concessionaires agreement.
So that is, we need to sign that tonight. I think Lickety Splits is who the pool board has chosen for that. We've always, I don't know, I think we used to charge 300, and now the last year we did 500. I don't know how long it's been 500.
I think last year was the first year of 500.
So the city has always paid for that, the license, for the food license thing that's there. It's $200 to get it, and then it's $100 to continue it every year. So we've just paid that because as they change, it would be $200 every year for that concessionaire to go get that food license, so we just keep that. Well, Jeff Shelley had thought we should raise this to $600, and he was going to take that and have Kennedy sign that. But again, I think the city needs to take care of the city's business. These boards, as good intention as they are, they're just advisory. So you guys, I'm bringing it with the $500 that is included. That's what we've charged in the past. It includes the $100.
The internet's more than enough.
Anyway, so that will be at tonight's meeting.
Ooh, sure. Any more questions on the food concessions? What's your capital construction project?
Main Street project, YDOT project has started. Not much impact downtown this year. They're working out kind of by the high school out that way, doing some culvert replacement right now. Probably see them down here. They're going to take those trees down in the near future.
What trees? No trees on Main Street?
No trees.
Okay.
Great, big ones across.
No trees on Main Street are coming down.
Well, it looks like the ones in Melrose.
Yeah, those are the ones.
All three of them. They only have two marked, and they want the third one.
Yeah, why not actually bought that piece of property on that corner, so they're why not streets to take down.
Nice.
But yeah. I noticed they bought property up and down Main Street. They bought a whole bunch of
because they're actually moving that corner back, so they have to come
yeah.
up to move
nice.
That way. So we quit killing the streetlights right there.
Yeah, that'd be good.
So that's on that. Unless you've got any other questions. The meter replacement, it's still metering on, just trudging away.
Are they half done?
Probably half, two-thirds ish.
Is the city going to be sending that info out that we, as a resident, can look at our own water?
Eventually.
Yeah,
once we get it, everything in place.
Because I think they were telling me that we can do that,
yep.
But I hadn't seen any way to do that yet. Then.
Just. We get familiar with it first before we
yeah,
start trying.
We'll have to teach everybody in this. Yeah, it's computerized, it'll be a mess.
Yeah. So that's on that. Sunset, we've got that first section from Cedar to Spruce, I think. That's tore up. They've got the sewer line in. And now they are going to start on the water side. So. That's where that's at. And the wells project is still it's going forward. We're waiting on a few comments back and forth between the engineers to get it straightened out, but it's still, you know, we're still hoping to have the end of this month job to bid out. So that's where that is.
What about the streetlights? Is anyone in? Moving forward on that on cinema or not cinema?
Yep, that's the you know, we paid for the electrical. We went to bid with those to have all that work done. We didn't get any bids on it from anybody to do that work. Right now, we're working with the electrical contractor that has the doing the electrical work on Main Street. Looks like I think we're gonna be able to get them to do the 4 or 5 lights we've got to do on Main Street, and then they're also looking at that stuff out on Center Drive and Flatiron and Flagstaff and all that. So yes. Questions? Okay. Then I guess we got this afternoon. We're having it's a pre qualification meeting, I guess, for to get funding for the tank repair, some funding at the water treatment plant. So that's the first step that we have to do in order to get started on the process. So that's happening this afternoon. Working on the started doing some street repair. We got the street tore up in front of the pool. Had to do that first so that we can have it open, done with it in conjunction with the pool opening this weekend. The pool is full of water, pumps are running now, so looks like that's going to work. So with that being said, we've got the hot mix plant. Actually, making hot mix today, so we can get that done. So chip seal is coming, start doing street cuts, other street repairs. Got some to do out Greenleaf, Cringer Circle. I mean, it's just all over town, but yeah, that's aware of it, and that's coming up. So the visitors in the pond out at the information center. We did clean that out. We do have a pump to put in there. We're going to, that horse needs waxed, the maintenance on that, so we're going to get that done before we fill it. So for the out there to, for that, and then we are going to get, I guess, the flowers. We got flowers growing; those are ready. That's something we'll have to have the crew. We're gonna, in our spare time, go get those pots and replace the banners. I was informed yesterday that the golf cart that we used to water with was reported stolen.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
By the chamber.
Chamber.
And they did that in the office yesterday.
And they gave it to us.
I tracked it down. Kevin stole it.
Where was it?
Kevin's.
We've been storing it for the last couple of years.
They lost their storage, free storage, so they didn't have a place to put it, so they gave it to the city. And
yeah. Well, I guess they never documented it.
And so then they reported it.
And then they didn't get the memo that, yeah, two people have changed.
So that was interesting.
So there'll be a warrant for Kevin's arrest by council.
So that's on that. We here a while back, we did have some vandalism, some things going on down in the parks. Haven't had
my son's. My son will be painting the park this summer.
Any issues with that here lately? We had some sinks ripped off in the bathroom, so there for a while. I'm sure we got some calls. I had them locking stuff up just because it would happen on the weekend.
We charged for juveniles and reference, so hopefully between that and the skating rink, we'll put an end to that. And Kevin and I talked about surveillance cameras and that kind of thing, getting it out there. Just so.
So things have been good. And the only other thing I have is somebody is interested in actually donating a light to put up at the skate park. It's an electrician here in town. There is a power drop right there on the other side of that parking lot that is owned by the city. There is no usage on it as of right now. So I guess that would be the city's give on it, so we'd have to pay that bill.
That's the skating park across from
the... Yeah, the roller rink, I guess.
Is the Light Dark Sky Initiative that has been towards any houses?
I can double check on that.
Power
but... I guess
somebody driving down Klondike over, get blinded by the lights.
And it would, we would be able to shut it off too. It would be a, you know, it would be a photo cell, but you'd also be able to shut it off if we needed to. So I guess I would just, if everybody's okay with that, I'll let them know that they can go ahead with it. But just,
it'd be good for us because night guys, and they check, you know, you can't really see down
right
there.
You can see
there.
Yeah.
So it might help as a deterrent.
Can you rig in a taser for 13-year-old blonde-headed woman?
I can check into that for you.
I'd like to get an electric fence, electric fence switch in case I'm...
So unless there's any other questions, that's really all I have.
The only question I had was on that concrete settlement out on Flatiron across from Weeding Pass. I bounced through it this morning again. My question out there, it looks to me like that the ceiling is not adhering well, and that we're getting pumping water inside all those joints. I talked to Paul Johnson, the former Whiteout engineer, and he said that he'd seen that before when they did get them cleaned out good enough. It sticks to the dust and dirt, it doesn't seal, but it looks, just walking that one there, it looks like there's a lot of area where that sealant has failed. And is that a warranty item?
I'd have to look into that. It seems like it should be.
And I'm also thinking, too, is on Sunset, if there's more sealant, if we need to talk to the contractor and make sure they update their procedure to make sure the sealant is there.
Typically, it's pressure washed out or sandblasted before they do it, and then, you know.
I don't know if they just didn't get it cleaned up enough, or we had a windstorm and got too much wind in there before they...
And the intention is that's still going to come out, kind of waiting closer until Barnum's concrete crew gets here
concrete guys start
before we tear it out, because
it has gotten a little worse.
Yeah. So, but they are aware of it.
Do you have to tear it out to repair it?
Well, the concrete.
This is the concrete out there by.
Thinking maybe there's an issue underground.
There's a settlement. It's right where the fire hydrant is out there across from that. Weeding passers. There's something there. There's something underground or somehow that's causing problems. I don't know. It's just, you can feel it driving over.
Yep. Everybody's aware of it. So, that's it.
Is it legal?
Well, we did a infrastructure agreement for this man cave development out here on Court Street. Is that all right?
Yeah, it all looked good. I've sent it out to them for their attorneys to review.
They haven't come back?
No, they haven't come back. And that's just preliminary plat, so final plat won't go. It'll be on this month's agenda for planning and zoning, if they can make it even with their with their stuff.
And I've written one letter to one of our citizens about refusing to have their water meter replaced. And I see we have another letter here. I'll copy this, but I assume you want me to proceed with the letter to this person to.
Just research it.
So
I sent a notice that the steps would be they can, within 10 days, grant us a time to replace the meter. If you don't do that, we're going to come to the door. And probably I would like an officer to go and maybe film it, that they refuse to allow entry. Then I'll file a criminal complaint. And then I told them their water be shut off, that the city would shut their water if they're found guilty.
Okay.
Is that all right with everybody?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's according to the ordinance.
It is. I just want to make sure when sending the letter out, telling them that's the procedure, and if you don't, in the end, the city has the right to turn off the water, turn it off.
Yeah, they don't have to have our water. They can.
Hey, go ahead, man.
Yeah.
I listened to last week, or the meeting I missed last time, but after listening to their comments, I just went on the website of the meter company, and they looked and researched their antennas, and it's just a cellular antenna. It tells you right here exactly. It's the same thing, the frequencies, everything, the same thing in your cell phone, so it's not. And that's information readily available. So it's,
well, she was using her cell phone during the meeting, so you didn't see it complaining about radiation. So.
Anything else from legal?
No, nothing else.
I think you guys all saw that our WAM executive director has resigned, so it'll be interesting conversation when we're over in Hi, Neil. And then the only other thing I had was like, it was in the newspaper about city considering city administrator. I did visit with Dennis a little bit. And Dennis had expressed concern that it's a big step for the city of Buffalo, so I don't know where that leads us moving forward. I'd had conversations with council, so I'd like to sometime have that conversation again.
I think we'd have to move up to what's called a first-class city and under the statutes. I haven't researched all of the requirements for first-class cities, but it changes the requirements.
And maybe we can do a little more research during WAM and talk to the other communities that have a similar setup, how they're doing it, pick their brains.
For reporting purposes, we're a first-class city. We're required to do all of the accounting, all of that stuff, but we didn't ever declare ourselves. There's a process where we pass a resolution, and then we give it to the governor, and he reads that and posts it for however long. But if you do that, then it requires that we have how we have a contract for an attorney. You have to have an engineer. So it's all of a sudden it starts costing us money.
And don't we also have to have our own electrical inspector? There's something else with inspections, too. We have
not on that. I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things we had to require in first class that would just cost more money.
That's
simple as a title manager.
It's not as simple.
No.
Yeah, that's
nothing. But then also what? You pay your council and mayor more when you go to those types of things as an option?
Yeah, right now we're maxed out. But
do we have to rename it city manager or administrator? Yeah, the way
city manager is a different.
Yeah, that's a different. Yeah, is there another terminology we need to use to stay within the low first class city? I don't. That we just need to research, but we can talk to other people at WAM and see what the other little communities are doing and have something similar that aren't first class cities. See what they did.
Just some personnel stuff. We did end up losing Officer Carswell. Josh Carswell left. He's going back to Washington. So it puts us one down. We have somebody in the hopper starting. Hopefully he has his psychological. He's a retired officer out of Indianapolis. He's got 20 years. He's just going to hit his retirement and he's going to come out. Hopefully at the end of July to start. And then we lost our new dispatcher. Came to me and said that handled some tough calls. One was a fatal on the interstate. We could hear the guy in the background yelling, didn't want to die, and he ended up passing away. And it kind of, one of those jobs that people think they can handle it, they get into it, and it's just not for them. So don't blame them. But we were able to secure someone who previously worked for us, who's now a professional dispatcher, and pay scale and whatnot. She'll be coming back at the end of June. So we'll just be short. Myself and Garth and Casey, Sergeant, we're working shifts to help, keep overtime at a minimum and still maintain the same schedule for burnout and whatnot. So we're just going to be a little short here with the busy time coming up. So, but we'll hang in there and get through it. So other than that, I really don't have much else.
Thank you.
Just put a packet together for you guys on the comprehensive plan survey. One of them is on the feedback. It's just basically a summary of the feedback. That was kind of the last open-ended question on there where people commented, so I just compiled those into a summary for you on that, and then also included just the basic pie charts of all the survey questions, so you can just take a look at those, what ranked for what, and what the ratings were on that. So remember now that the feedback summary was just an open-ended question, so the comments don't necessarily reflect all of the actual data. These are just the comments summarized, basically, that were put in there. So when you get a minute, take a look at that. If you have questions, shoot me an email. But
I saw that the city of Casper had done, I don't know what kind of survey they were doing, whether it was their comp plan or whatever. But I thought they had an interesting strategy. They did it in the spring. And then shut it off and then brought it back in the fall. You know, so I'm wondering, I know you've been working hard to get this updated, but I wonder, because if you look through this, whatever was happening in the city, that's who responded, and that's who responded from. It was about the water, and it was about the animal shelter agreement and all of that. So now I wonder if you changed the time of year, if you were going to get another representative group, and then maybe it's perceived as, hey, I didn't miss out on that, even though they shut the survey off now. It's just maybe a strategy. You might want to consider.
No. Councilman Madsen.
I guess the only thing I had was, I guess after last month's meeting on the real estate potential for the business park, do we, I guess it sounds like there's more interest. Do we need to put an RFQ out again to solicit people? Is that in the works to solicit?
Yes.
So my question is, in this budget, we have some money to put some lipstick on that pig, you know, clean it up a little. And should we do that first and then go for RFQ? I say yes. I think it needs some TLC.
Okay. I'll see what I can do to get that in the
budget. Anything else?
I think that was all things.
I had just a couple of things that I wanted to mention. I had a citizen call, and I've actually spoke to Kevin about this, and Kevin has a game plan, but the water, I don't know what you
that water sample, we did put a slide.
Oh, you did? Perfect. Yeah. Okay, so just so everyone knows, someone reached out just wondering if we could post how much water you're getting for how much you're paying at the facility down by Ace Hardware. And so
it's nothing real fancy. We just put a handwritten thing up there, laminated. It's 50 cents to start it. It's approximately 3 cents a gallon. That's what it costs. That's what we put on.
That sounds good. And then Kevin, and that same person, and you and I discussed that he had mentioned maybe we should consider updating the, you know, payment method for that. And I think you'd already been looking into some of that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Yeah, looking at a replacement system.
And then the other thing that was mentioned, and you probably gather who it is, but I'm not going to talk about this, but and I don't want to bring up, you know, or beat a dead horse here, but the Plains Drive, you're calling for maintenance and something, wants to know what the city can do in order to help with our portion of maintaining that road. I know there's no agreements to put in place, there's no HOA for commercial buildings. Mountain Meadow Plains Drive. And so I know we've discussed this before, but I think we've come to the conclusion that it's not our responsibility.
I know in the past we have believed if we put ground on it. We have done that in the past, though that was before that was out there. But
right.
And before we even had property out there.
Mm-hmm.
But
I understand one of the problems is the optics of having the city do maintenance on a private road.
Yeah, it's not in the city.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if there are any other solutions we could come up with since we do own property out there to help ease
so,
the peace.
What, 1/6 owner or whatever?
I thought we had talked about this once before because they fixed it up and then sent us a bill.
Right.
And we said we need to have an agreement of all the, it's like a homeowners association almost.
If there was something like that, then that would probably be the best.
Potentially half that road's going to get tore up, but the water line to Love's if they do proceed with that, because they've got to go
right up
all,
that street.
They've got to go all the way up that street, half, at least probably half the road. So that's where I think that's in the city's agreement with Love's that they have to repair the road, but they're actually going through a private road, so I don't know if they need an agreement with, if Love's needs an agreement with the other property owners or what. I don't understand all the legalities of that either.
It's not a dedicated street, so.
Like I said, I know we've talked about this before, and there's a reason we haven't gone out there and done it. I just wasn't sure if we looked at it with the from a different angle, if there's any
even if it's not taking a blade out there, but anything we could do to maintain our portion. And it sounds like you put together an HOA for commercial buildings, I guess, is the only thing. So, and I can suggest that to this person.
Yeah.
Put together for everybody, and then we just pay our portion of it, then that keeps us out of the mess.
Okay.
You know, and then there's also some water drainage issues on that road. Caused.
For know, sure.
So, which kind of was part of the problem.
And everybody be informed properly.
Okay. Sounds good. That was all I had.
Yeah, I'm surprised that I thought we put in that infrastructure agreement with Love's that they had to fix that street, but
they had to repair it probably back to
where,
the same
original
condition. Restore the original condition, probably.
We should have put a requirement in there to fix the whole street. they don't use that as access. When they turn off of 16, then they'll be on the street.
I just want to make sure we don't get in trouble with other property owners out there that will complain to the city, you're tearing up our street, and you didn't let me know that they were tearing up our street or something. Just so the other owners know that they're putting water line in. With a private street, that makes it
Love
much more difficult. Do they need a secured easement from all of six property owners? They secure a legal easement to put the line down there?
I guess they'll have to.
Would that be the simplest, cleanest?
Legally, technically, that would be the requirement.
Well, then, because we'll have a water line easement at that point, a 15-foot water easement down there.
But they
will be the city's.
So Love's need to negotiate an easement with the owners, and to do that, I think we almost need an HOA or somehow to make it all work out legally. Legality of it. Big words.
Councilwoman.
Trails board, the Colette and stuff, they were trying to spend out this year's monies. But I've got research about they've been working hard at our city property out there at the wetlands. They've been really working hard at getting rid of brush and all and cleaning it up, getting a brush belt for that trail. I mean, the kids go out there fishing, and I think Councilman Madden brought this up about new docks. And so there's Phil Gonzalez can direct you if you're still interested in pursuing new docks for out there. He's got information.
I think the game fish has to do it. Well, he's right.
Yes. So that's all I have.
Anything else?
I have one thing. So, and it's not our problem, except that right on the edge of town, and I think the turn point from Hogerson as you go on to the Smith. All those trucks that are, I mean, when I come in, it's probably 12 trucks with pups on that are heading out to that gravel pit, and I'm sure that the road will be torn up, especially as they come out, the gravel falls off, but the turning there, that's the county section, whatever, but what is it doing to our, as they pull into town, and as they're going out, and as they turn on that corner?
It's not good. It's actually spidering that asphalt up around that corner down to.
I would
you really notice it there.
Live in your old subdivision where you were, because that dust and from not only the crushing operations, and I've been told that they only crush for 5 weeks in the spring, but when they're crushing and then you have that kind of truck traffic coming out, and then they come out right where there's a bus stop. All the kids get on the bus right there. I don't know that we express concern over the safety, the bus kids or whatever, but I don't know if the city wants to take a stand or send a letter or who we would about maintenance of our infrastructure. It's just something to watch.
Some sort of an impact fee on that.
Where is the location again?
It's,
I don't
Mount Ridge. Mount Ridge Estates. Going out French Bridge.
Barkers.
Why is my offer more than sure? So.
Gravel pit right across the road there, from Mount Ridge.
And you're talking about the corner of Hooper's
the Barker?
Yes.
Okay, the Barker pit.
Yeah, and so where the damage is, like where they come into town, they come down.
Come around that
and
corner.
And make the turn onto Hooperson.
Okay.
So that stretch from there into town, and you can see it on the road. You can see it's, it hasn't blown apart yet, but it's definitely spidered the asphalt.
It's really making me slow down when I come in. I see all those trucks. Dangerous for me to drive.
Oh, we can put that in the ladder.
Well, the chief left. So we don't.
It's a lot of truck traffic.
The clerk feels.
And that's another person to be.
I felt right.
Specific purpose. They not keeping
I was thinking.
Anything from the public or press?
Or was keeping them? Yeah, my turn.
This audio was brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, where advanced dental technology meets compassionate, patient-centered care.